You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. For help with any computer problem, call in during our live show or visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. A delight to be with you here along with my old partner Gary Baker and Ed Rudell in studio. Guys, I am delighted to welcome somebody to our studios who is from our area as well, but is one of the writers for CNET, which we know is a great source for anything technical.
I go there computer, for all my
for reviews and everything else under the sun. Rick Broida is with us. He's a technology writer, been a writer for that for more than 20 years, also the author of about a dozen books. And it writes the Cheapskate blog, and we love the sound of that here. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Rick, good to have you here.
Thank you. It is very good to be here.
So how does a guy from Michigan get to be a writer for CNET? That's very cool.
Well, that's the beauty of the web. It's not location specific, so you can do it from anywhere.
Wow. How
Wonderful. Did you get into it? I'm just curious.
You know, I've been a technology fan really my entire life, and I've been a technology writer since my college days at Michigan State. And one thing just kind of led to another. I started writing for computer magazines. Anybody remember the Amiga?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I wrote for Amiga magazines at first.
And,
eventually, obviously, those didn't make it, but that kind of snowballed into PC magazines. And once those all disappeared, it was all web.
So what else do you write for now? Because you write for a couple different magazines today.
That's true. Well, magazines and websites
and
alike.
Websites.
I do some magazine work for Wired and for PC World. And I also write a column for PC World that's called Hassle Free PC.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
We love the sound of
hassle free. Yeah.
It's an endless supply of hassles to be solved out there.
Yes, there Amen. Is. Target rich environment if you like solving problems.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah, Vista has been our friend.
Oh, yes.
For solving problems, Vista. Like ME was.
Yeah.
But how did you make the transition then from those columns into the CNET world?
Well, it was just a matter of who you know, and I worked with some editors in the print world, and those editors ended up working for CNET, and they kind of brought me along.
Contacted you and said, hey, Rick, got an idea.
Hey, yeah. And you know, it's to be working as a writer at all and you know, making a living is pretty good, so I'm very happy with it.
And you've written some books.
I have. Nothing real current, but I wrote a couple of books way back about the Palm Pilot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my favorite. Yeah, yeah, that was mine. We were all on that.
I may have read one of those books back then.
Yeah. Yes. There was that's How to Do Everything series. There was the Palm Pilot and GPS and MP3. And, they're all very out of date now.
Well, we are delighted to have you. By the way, folks, if you go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, we have the show notes up there today, and right smack dab in the middle of that, you have his smiling face. Rick is there, but we also have a live link to the About Him page under Rick Broida, and then the Cheapskate blog for CNET, where you talk about the great bargains out there. Matter of fact, one of the ones you have up is about a $699 MacBook Air. Could it be?
Yes, just yesterday there was a $699 MacBook Air. Now, this was last year's model, and it was a refurbished model, which we can talk about in a little bit when we talk about tablets. Not necessarily a bad thing, but that's the lowest price I think I've seen on a MacBook Air.
And then you have to buy like the hard drive and other things separately. I mean, how does it get that low? That's a great price.
Like, you know, you can have the car, but the wheels will cost you.
I'm thinking, okay.
And the motor then.
What don't they give you with this? Yeah. Right.
Well, how do you find these kind of deals?
Well, that's akin to a magician giving away his secret.
That's a secret sauce.
Right.
You got to tune into the Cheapskate blog.
That's right. But, I mean, do you develop like a contacts that give you this information?
You know, I like to think I have something of a sixth sense about it.
Oh.
And I kind of spend my morning scouring the web a bit for the different deals that are out there. And, you know, when something kind of strikes me as being especially good, that's my post for the day for the Cheapskate. And, you know, I've missed the mark a few times, but I usually, you know, manage to come up with some good stuff.
Were you always a skinflint? Type one?
So no, you can't call him that. He just writes that blog. You
know, that's what I want to know. Is this a development from your own personality? Or
I never really thought of myself as a cheapskate, but I remember when I got this job.
Everybody loves a bargain, though, right?
Everybody loves a bargain, but I remember when I got this job, and they told me that they wanted to call this blog the Cheapskate.
Yeah.
And I remember distinctly saying to my wife, you know, I'm going to be known as the Cheapskate to all my friends and family in the world at large.
I didn't know Rick was a chiseler.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Back, I don't think this is stigma anymore. I think it's actually a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. You know, you can be my friend anytime. Yeah. You tell me about good deals, I'm there.
Our pal Tom Dyroff, who was here when we first started the program, he was so cheap. Yeah, you know, he could squeeze a nickel to the Buffalo Mood. And
I told this story when he went out. This was a number of years ago. Were you going to tell the same thing?
Go ahead, tell it. It's a good story.
So he went out and bought a laptop computer and a printer. And
at the current price, which is about $1,200.
Yeah, it was about $1,200 to get both of them at the time. But they had coupons that were immediate savings, and then he had mail-in coupons, and he had this and that, and if you had a combination, and if you bought right, and you bought a couple other accessories,
you got your left foot, held your breath for 3 seconds.
Wallet,
I think he ended up getting all of his money back and making, what, $82?
I think he did,
like that.
Yeah.
So he got like $1,282 back from all of these coupons.
So Rick, we've set the bar kind of high.
That is pretty impressive.
Very impressed. We couldn't believe it. In fact, I picked him up and took him over to buy the computer before we came into to do the show. And so he had the brand new computer and it took him about 3 months, I think, because he had to send a couple of those coupons twice before he got reimbursed.
But he got all the money back. Let's talk with you right now about something that's really hot and on a lot of people's Christmas list, which is tablets. Rick, first of all, tell us what the range of offerings are out there, and maybe we can talk about the tablet you brought in.
Sure. Well, the tablet world is exploding right now, and there's so many different choices. You know, a couple years ago, not even 2 years ago, it was the iPad, and that was it.
Period, yeah.
And obviously now the landscape is quite different. We've got any number of makes and models to choose from in different sizes and different form factors and different capabilities, and it's getting a little confusing for anybody who's shopping for a tablet, because I think, you know, the iPad is really kind of the gold standard, certainly. Mm-hmm. But it's also the most expensive tablet that's out
gold
there.
For I mean, a good
still
reason.
Still start at $499. I'm actually very surprised that Apple has not come up with any kind of price cut.
Even on Black Friday, I don't think they were offering any. They were offering like $50 off. It was ridiculous discounts on price. And they still sold like mad.
And they go up from there, right?
Yeah.
Because
that's just the bottom of the rung.
64 gigabyte and you want to get not only Wi-Fi, but 3G. You know, 3G enabled, you know, it can be up to $800.
Right, and it's a testament to Apple that the product sells so well and still sells so well at that price.
Why do we pay that
much money? But now look what's happened in the last couple of months, where suddenly we have some much more affordable choices, namely the Amazon Kindle Fire.
That's right.
Which is $199, and no wonder it is selling like hotcakes at that price.
No wonder.
At a loss, by the way. According to most reports, they are manufacturing it for more than they're selling it for.
I believe that's probably true, and the reason being, of course, that Amazon is wanting to sell content.
And their tablet in particular is a pipeline. It's an immediately pipeline. Get your wallet out and your card because you're going to be sucked right into the Amazon hole.
Right. And what people will definitely need to realize about the Fire, in any rate, is that although you buy the tablet itself for $199, to really make the most of it, you need a subscription to Amazon's Prime service, which is $79 a year.
Yeah.
So that's... if we really want to make most of it.
Exactly. You're going to have to tack that on. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Now, you've mentioned that one. The other one that came out actually just a little bit before Amazon Fire, kind of figured that they almost, Barnes & Noble put this out just to kind of steal a little bit of thunder, was the tablet you have in front of you.
Right. What I brought with me today is the Barnes & Noble Nook Color, which actually debuted about a year ago. So this has been on the market for a while.
You know, you're right.
Right. The Barnes & Noble has since released an update to it called the Nook Tablet.
That's it. Okay.
Right. It's been kind of an interesting progression. But let me talk about the Nook Color real quickly, because this is, although it's last year's model now, is still a huge seller. And the reason for that is that you can routinely find the refurbished Nook Color for as low as $149, $139. I saw it last week for $119. And I don't know if it's still available at that price, but Barnes & Noble via eBay was clearing out all their refurbished Nook Colors. And for $119 for a 7-inch tablet that is pretty much as capable as a tablet costing twice as much, that's a no-brainer to me.
Well, and I'll tell you,
is that where you got yours?
I did get mine refurbished, yes. Now, I paid about $179 for mine, which was a few months ago. So that just goes to show you how quickly the price has come down already on the 7-inch model.
So now, you did some neat things to yours, or one thing in particular that really expanded the use of it.
Right.
What was that?
Well, the Nook Color is at its heart an Android tablet, but out of the box, it runs a customized version of the Android operating system, which is the Nook operating system. And it's fairly capable. It's really intended as a reader for reading books and magazines, but you can run some apps and so forth. But if you really want to kind of blow the doors off and have some fun, you can turn it into a full-blown Android tablet.
Wow.
And there's two ways to go about that. One is through a process called rooting, which is where you kind of reprogram the guts of the thing to run a true Android operating system.
And what about for the rest of us that are a little more technically challenged?
Yes, for the less tech savvy, there is something of a plug and play option, which is a little micro SD card, a memory card that has the Android operating system preloaded on it. And so what you do is you pop that into the Nook Color's expansion slot and you boot it up, and presto, you're running Android. And what's nice about this is that it's completely reversible, so that if you decide at some point that you don't want Android anymore, you pop the card out, no harm done.
Excellent. Wow. We're going to come back and talk a little more about that. Our guest in studio is Rick Broida, who is the author of the Cheapskate blog for CNET. And we're going to be back to talk more about what refurbished means and about this Nook tablet in front of him. You're listening to the Internet Advisor. Check us out. Our homepage is internetadvisor.net. We've got more to come, so please do stay tuned.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor.
Thank you for joining us. And by the way, thanks once again to Steve and Matty Ditos for producing that great jazzed up version of our theme song called Cutting Edge.
Cutting Edge. That's right. And that's after about 14 years using the first one. So another 14 years. We'll have to have him in to do
we'll have a whole brass band.
It's real.
We have in studio with us Rick Broida, a technology writer for many years, an author of many books, and also right now contributing to Cheapskate blog on CNET, which for us is one of the places to go for any kind of information about technology and reviews. And we've been talking about the tablets that are out there now, Rick. And thank you very much for joining us in studio, by the way. It's a delight to have you here.
Well, you know, I have to ask Cheapskate a question, okay?
Call him Rick, please. I don't think...
I just wanted to say that. And my wife's always calling for that, so I had to ask him. So, Rick, I wanted to ask you about refurbished, because we're approaching the holiday season, and the stores are packed right now, and online sales are wonderful. But when you see a refurbished,
when you're buying something refurbished,
what should you really look for in a refurbished unit? Because I would have some concerns about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think sometimes people see the word refurbished and there's a stigma attached to it.
Exactly.
They think it's something that's used or damaged or what have you. And it really depends on what you buy and where you buy it. But by and large, I think that refurbished gear tends to be a great deal. You know, especially let's talk about the Apple tablets. Let's talk about the iPad. Okay, go to the Apple Store online, and for literally $50-$75 less than you'd pay for a new iPad, you can get a refurbished iPad. And what's nice about the way Apple does it is that they give you a fully one-year warranty, same as new. And the device that you get from them looks like new. They replace the outer casing. They replace the battery. So for all intents and purposes, it is new.
There's no fingerprints on there or smudges. That's wonderful. I mean, I would expect that from Apple.
But when you say refurbished, I mean, what does it actually mean? What's happened to the device?
Well, it can vary. But, you know, for example, somebody buys an iPad and they decide they don't like it. They return it. Okay. The manufacturer can't sell it again as new by law. So they go through this process of refurbishing. Now, it may be something where there was a defect in the product right off the assembly line. And, you know, I often tell people that a lot of times refurbished is actually a better way to go, because you know that if there was any kind of problem with it, it's been corrected.
Oh, that's
right.
A good
point. They have to test it then again,
because they don't test
every single one.
Exactly.
They spot test, right? So
that's
you know that you've got it right.
So not only are you saving money, you're actually, in some cases, improving your chances of getting a product that's going to be more reliable.
I knew it. Being cheap is good. I'm going to tell you
Hey, I will
go home and tell Tina.
I
got it. I've got it down here. Rick said that. So refurbished, that's interesting. I had never thought of that, because I kind of thought of it as my second hand, but in essence, they've been fully restored, and as you said, they've already been through our testing process that most machines don't go through, in the individual machines, and the components are all set. Let's get back to talking about tablets. We've been talking about this color, the Nook Color that you have there, which is now the new one that came out from Barnes & Noble is the...
The Nook Tablet.
Nook Tablet. How is it different from the Nook Color?
Well, physically, it's just about identical.
I thought so.
Right.
They're very similar.
They're 7-inch screens. Right. So they're a little smaller than the iPad. And, you know, the Nook Tablet sells for $249, which is what the Nook Color sold for when it first made its debut. And, you know, it's not that different? I mean, Barnes & Noble has made some changes to the operating system, and they're trying to, I think, position themselves a little bit more like Amazon is doing by pushing more content, video and music and things like that. But and I believe it also has a faster processor. I think they've goosed the speed a little bit and the storage as well. But, you know, for my money, if I'm shopping for a great tablet deal right now, I'm going to go back and say that the Nook Color, if you can find one refurbished, is the way to go. Because Barnes & Noble is also one of those rare companies that gives you a full one-year warranty on a refurbished product.
And so now I do want to ask you, because we've been talking about the fact that you wrote, you know, that you blog, and it's the Cheapskate blog, and you find really good deals. But you're really an expert in this technology because you have to go look at all the technology before you can find the best prices for different ones. The form factor, right? Nobody really knows yet. Is it the little larger iPad and the form factor of some of them that have copied that size? Some of them have even gone a little bit larger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Many, like the Tab, the Galaxy Tab, are smaller, and obviously the Nook is a little smaller. There's some that are even smaller than that. What form factor is going to win and why?
That's a good question. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all.
Okay.
You know, the iPad has a 10-inch screen. The newer breed of less expensive tablets all have 7-inch screens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love I own an iPad, and I really like it. But I do find it to be on the big side. It's a first-generation iPad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's on the cumbersome side. I'm laying in bed. I like laying down, reading before I go to bed. And I have a tablet that's the same size, the HP TouchPad that you get for $99. And, you know, my fingers cramp after about an hour of reading very easily.
Because of the weight of the
weight of it.
Yeah. That's exactly my complaint with the 10-inch, because I like to read as well. And for reading in bed, it's just too big and bulky. So I like the 7-inch form factor a lot better. And I certainly like the price of it better.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that where it falls a little bit shorter is for things like web browsing, because the 7-inch screen just isn't quite as comfortable or as accommodating for a web browser as a 10-inch screen.
Do you need, and I'm going to guess that with the 7-inchers, then because it's smaller, you really need the sites that are, we talked about this with a usability expert the other day on our show, that you need to have them built to be read in one of those devices.
Ideally, yes, but you know the browser that comes with most of these devices will work with a typically formatted website, and so it just means that you're doing a lot more pinching and zooming and scrolling, which is just a bit of a hassle. So it really, you know, you can go to the mobile version of a site and get a better experience, but it's not great. It's not great for
One of the other things in terms of portability, as I look at that, is that might fit in a pocket that is a little big, but I mean it could fit in something pretty simply, it looks like.
Exactly. And that's another thing that I just like about the 7-inch form factor is just the feel of it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like I'm holding something that's big and clunky and needs two hands. The 7-inch tablet, I think, is just very easy to carry and to hold for a lengthy period of time while you're reading.
So, Rick, if somebody's out there buying now for the holiday season, I'm hearing you saying that this might be a good alternative if you haven't got a lot of money to spend. Maybe if you want your kids to have one, somebody to take one back to school, you can get those cards. Now, tell me about the card, the SD card you put in there that makes it an Android tablet.
Right. So this is regarding the Nook Color, which,
is a great deal
refurbished right now. Right. I've seen it as low as $119, $129.
Nook is by Barnes & Noble.
That is by Barnes & Noble. And there are two companies that I know of that make these micro SD cards that you just pop in for a true Android-y experience. One is called RootMyNookColor.com.
Okay.
And the other is N2ACards.com, as in Nook 2 Android.
So that's N, the number 2?
The number 2, and then A.
A.
Cards.
Cards.com. Okay.
And these are very, very similar products that achieve very, very similar things. And they start at about $30 for an 8-gigabyte card, and you can also get a 16 or a 32-gigabyte card, depending on how much storage that you want to have.
Yeah, nice.
They work great.
Wow, that's good. That really is good. And what that does, essentially, is it gives you something that I can, am I right on this? I can read my email on. I can put an email client on it. I can browse the web on it.
Yep.
And can I do any kind of word processing on it? Are there apps that allow me to do that?
Well, certainly you have the full library of Android apps at your disposal.
Okay.
So you get anything.
Whatever's an Android, I can
get. But word processing on a 7-inch screen with no keyboard, not my idea.
No, I mean like making composing an email or something like that.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, you know, Rick, you know, we were surprised to find somebody that writes for CNET, right? This very, very great, you know, great resource on the net, but really headquartered out on the West Coast. You're here from Michigan, and the guy that turned us on to you is Rob David, and Rob's in studio. He just happened to be here, and we asked him to motion for him to come in through the glass. Rob, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Good to be here. I happened to have come back because I left some of my technology here after our show today.
Ooh!
I had to come back from home around to pick it up.
So Rob is...
like leaving a leg behind.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Rob does, from our flagship station, is the guy behind the scenes on the Glenn Hagee Show. So, Rob, you don't normally get in front of the microphone, do you?
Absolutely not. But in this case, I'm so glad to meet Rick, because I saw a note one time that he was going to be Ypsilanti speaking, and I said... Guy from the West Coast or East Coast coming to town. This is big. Then he said, I'm from the area. So every day I check out Rick's blog to see what's new, and because I'm a cheapskate also.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for the intro. Rick, it's been a delight having you here with us in the studios. Thank you so much. Will you come back?
Absolutely, I will. Thank you.
All right. My pleasure. And don't forget, folks, go to internetadvisor.net. You'll see him there. It's Rick Broida, and it's a cheapskate blog. You can click on that and find that. Hey, we've got another hour of the Internet Advisor on the way. Please do stay tuned for it if you can. Otherwise, join us again soon for the Internet Advisor on your favorite station. InternetAdvisor.net. That's where you'll find us all the time.
You've been listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. To hear previous podcasts, visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.